You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Alex Dunn, Seb Sanders and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Big day to look forward to as well. Good racing at Ascot, including the Grade 1 Ascot Chase, where we'll see Q Card in action. Good racing as well at Haydock, a few Cheltenham Festival clues and a Grand National Trial on their card. A good race at Wincanton as well, where we'll see Yanworth back in action. Lingfield on the all-weather and Kempton on the all-weather as well. So a busy Saturday along the way. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Looking forward to being at Ascot, actually, on Saturday.
How are you going?
I have a share in a runner in the last.
Yeah, should we start with that?
Let's start with that. Let's get this out of the way.
Are you confident on your...
I wasn't at the five-day stage. I'd be disappointed if she's not in the first four, looking at what's been declared. Obviously, she's called Sweet Little Mystery, and she's one of the ones that's got a penalty. The three that have previously won a race. There's a couple of interesting newcomers. I think the Alan Keane newcomer is very interesting. Obviously, he's got a great record in those type of races, and we've got to give her almost a stone. But of the ones that have already won, I don't know. I think we've probably got the best. Well, I think we're probably better than those, but we'll see. We'll learn more tomorrow. We'll see what Ken says. Okay. She's not the biggest, you see. That's the problem. Giving a penalty away won't be easy.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Sweet Little Mystery in the bumper there, the mayor's bumper to close the card at Ascot. Good luck with that, Gary.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day as an owner at Ascot. I'm sure it's pretty nice being an owner at Ascot.
I'll just sit in the press room all day and wait for my race and just have the free food in there.
No drink along the way? You're not
going
to look it up? You're not doing it right.
I haven't got a driver. Can't afford a driver.
Do you buy Gary?
It's all these single shifts here instead of doubles. That's what it is. Cost me 100 quid a pop each time. That.
I'm sure we can get you some doubles if you want, Gary. I'm sure we can.
2 months' time, it's not going to be an issue, is it? It'll all be doubles.
Yes. We've got all that to look forward to down the line. Good racing at Ascot. Gary's going to look at four races on the card for us. We'll also hear from Sir Anthony McCoy along the way as well. He's going to preview the big race at Ascot along with Gary and a few races from elsewhere as well. Are you looking forward to the rest of the day's action?
Yeah, it's probably one of the... I think this Saturday, maybe next Saturday. I can't remember what's on next Saturday. Is it racing... What used to be the old racing post-chase? I think it might be. Might be a bit early for that, thinking about it. But anyway, last sort of major sort of trials, aren't there, really, before Cheltenham? Obviously, we'll learn more about the Champion Hurdle Market with Yanworth. We've got a Grand National trial as well. And, the Rendlesham and the Albert Bart, the sort of trial at Haydock as well. Plus, obviously, the Ascot Chase. The Reynolds Town has often been a good indicator for the RSA Chase. I think Bobsworth, he might have actually been beaten in this race, Bobsworth, before he won the RSA Chase. But it's an interesting card. And we've got decent racing at Goram Park as well. And on Sunday, there's a couple of graded races at Navan and some dross at Market Racing and Foss Lass.
How eloquently put there. Next Saturday, it looks like we've got...
Yeah, it is the old...
Ida Chase at Newcastle.
And it is also, if you go down, it is the old racing post-chase.
Yeah, grade three.
It's now something else.
Yes. And all-weather... Winter Derby as well at Lingfield.
Oh, you have no idea how much I've been looking forward to that.
I sense that's not necessarily the case. Right.
Okay, stink more.
Come. Yeah. Any news on your mind, Gary? Anything that's caught your eye of late? Or should we just get straight stuck into
it? Let's get it stuck into it, because this is good stuff.
It is good stuff. We'll get Gary's thoughts in four races at Ascot, then we'll start in the 150. And this one is the Grade 2 Reynolds Town at Novices Chase. It's over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs, getting on for 3 miles. If we're honest, we do have betting out as well. Arpège de Laine is the 15-8 favourite. 7-2, La Belle des Aubeurs. Fletcher's Flyer, 9-2. 9-2 is all for Big Bad John. 8-1, Laurium. And Flintham is the 11-1 outsider of the field. Thoughts there, Gary?
Yeah, well, Arpège de Laine was a pretty decent hurdler, wasn't he? In the last few runs, he's begun to get his act together. hasn't he, really, over fences. The blinkers have gone on as well. I think that's been perhaps the key to him. Obviously, he won at Aintree, won his novice chase there back in November. Was second at Cheltenham and third at Cheltenham the last twice. The latter run coming on New Year's Day in a pretty decent handicap. So he is officially the highest rated in the lineup. But I just wonder whether he might be worth taking on, though, to be perfectly honest. Strictly at the figures, very much the one to beat is Label Desabeaux, who won at Ludlow last time out. He's a former Grade 2 winning novice hurdler in his time. Was placed in his first three runs over fences before winning, albeit it was a small field last time out. I think we need to see more from Flinton, who was disappointing the other day. Lorium isn't the most consistent, but is fairly highly rated. It was well beaten behind Arpège Delaine the other day. Obviously, Nicky Henderson's got a good record in this race. Big Bad John won at Newbury and then ran behind Thistlecrack there. Slipped over Doncaster the other day, but it's probably better than that. But I quite like the top horse here. I think this horse is tailor-made for the four-miler myself, Fletcher's Flyer, who won at Punchestown at the Punchestown Festival. Now, a good bit of placing in some respects from Harry Fry that race. OK, it was a handicap, but even still, it meant he kept his novice status for this season, because technically it wasn't the end of the Irish season, but it was the end of our season. So it means he can still run in novice races this campaign. He very much needed the run when he was seventh here on his most recent outing. I'm sure they've improved a good bit for that. Harry Fry's horses are in fair form. OK, he's got to give weight all round, but I quite like him at the likely odds, so I'll go for Fletcher's Flyer in the Reddlestown at 150.
Fletcher's Flyer, then, the selection for Gary, then, in the 150 at Ascot. Let's move on to the 225 at Ascot next. This is the Swinley Chase, a limited handicap, a listed race as well, over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Again, it's knocking on for 3 miles. Betting headed by Go Conquer, who is 11-4, 7-2 Chef Derv, O'Fallon's Boys 9-2, 6-1 Sausalito Sunrise, 15-2 10 on Ivernay, 15-2 as well for Virac, and Cloudy 2 is the 11-1 outsider of this particular field. Quite a decent field as well. Gary, Sausalito Sunrise won this race last season, but
he did.
Doesn't arrive here in anywhere near the same kind of form this time around.
No, he doesn't. More on him in a moment. We'll go with the favourite first, Go Conquer, who was second here behind Present Man at in November. He fell here in a listed chase. He was sent off fairly short price for that, actually. 7-1. It was a very competitive race just before Christmas. Much more like it just after Christmas, when finishing second behind Double Shuffle on his most recent outing. Been off since, given a bit of a break. Obvious chance, really. Chef Duvre is, I think, out of the weights by £5. With this being a limited handicap, he's actually £5 out of the weight. So that would put me off him, and he's second in the market. He made all the running in Hereford the other day. I think he's the likely pace angle in the race. But you've got some horses, some quality horses in this race. The likes of Cloudy 2, Peter Marsh Chase winner last year. Won at Uttoxeter in November. Run okay in a couple of veterans events the last twice, but at the age of 11, I think it would be hard to see him winning. O'Fallon's Boy, obviously a former RSA Chase winner, and ran okay in the Gold Cup last year until he just got a little bit tired. The market's going to be key with him, because there's a chance he could be thrown in off a mark of 148, really. Virac runs the usual solid races in tough handicaps. I think he ran in the rehearsal chase, didn't he, off top weight. And he was fourth on his most recent outing at Virac. That came at Haydock behind Bristol Demai in the Peter Marsh chase. He was actually sixth in the rehearsal chase, and he was fifth in the Badger Ales. The Charlie Hall chase, rather, I should say, before that. But I'd probably, Ten on Ivernay, the other one we should mention, been placed at Cheltenham the last twice on New Year's Day and at the trials meeting in handicap company. He has won here before, but I just worry about him. He just doesn't win very often, that's the thing with him. So I'm going to go with Sausalito Sunrise, who, as you point out, won this race over £5 lower mark last year. Clearly likes it here at the track. Obviously, he was fourth then behind Many Clouds, and he was third in the what used to be the Whitbread after that. Finished 11th at Cheltenham on his seasonal debut. Again, you carry top weight that day, as he did when he was fifth in a Grade 3 chase there behind Theatre Guide. Subsequently, unseated his rider in the Peter Marsh chase, but I think he'll be happier back here at Ascot. Obviously, as we point out, he won this corresponding race last year. He was third in a novice hurdle here as well back in his earlier days. I know he's got a £5 high mark to contend with, but I think I'll go for him again. Sausalito Sunrise, they're picking that 2.25.
Moving on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot next. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the trip here. Big field of 16 of them set to go to post. And market headed by Temple Russ, who's 9-2. 13-2, Air Horse 1. Does Your Dog Bite is 8-1. Money for Kruger Mac, 10s into 8s in the market at the time of recording this. 9-1, Divine Spear. Auto Ab KO is 11-1, 14-1. For Surname and Oscar Who, 14s as well for Man of Plenty and Michael Easy, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Quite an open handicap here, Gary. Who do you like?
Wide open, isn't it? We'll start with the favourite Temple Ross for the informed Twist and Davis team. Won two of his first three starts over hurdles. A bit disappointing after that, but he bounced back to something like his best when second in the Lanzarote hurdle 5 weeks ago. He's gone up £3 actually for that particular piece of form. Loop de Louvre is a very interesting runner for Gary Moore. Won at Fontainebleau on racecourse debut. That was 353 days ago. He's obviously been bought by this yard, given a mark of 125. Could be very well handicapped. Air Horse One has won his last two races. A maiden and a novice contest, and he strode out to the line quite strongly on both those occasions. He's quite interesting. Likewise, Surname, who was far too free on his first run for the odd, but the hood goes on this time around. But there's a couple of horses in this race that I quite like. They're coming back from long absences. Ord Ab Cheo is one of them. He was pulled up at the Sefton Hurdle, well, I should say, when he was last seen back in April 2015, but the handicap has given him a fair sort of a chance at the weights. Obviously, he was behind Thistlecrack on that occasion, but prior to that, he'd ran okay in the Neptune behind Windsor Park. And the other one is Oscar Hoof, who won a couple of races over hurdles. They've had him in a Grade 1 when he was last seen. He fell on that particular occasion. He was off the track 1,050 days. But Dickie Anderson had a horse return from a similar-ish sort of absence that won at Newbury not so long back. I can't remember the name of the horse, but it was a couple of weeks ago now. But it returned from a mammoth absence to win, and I can't remember the name of the horse now. But anyway, he got that to return from quite a long absence. He could easily do the same with this one. But I'm going to go for the John Joe O'Neill horse, Does Your Dog Bite, who was 3 from 3 before finishing 6th in the Lanzarote Hurdle. That was his first run in. That was his first run in one of these typical, very competitive sorts of handicaps. I think he'll have learnt a bit from that. He wasn't beaten that far, and he certainly wasn't disgraced, and he could have a bit more improvement to come. So, Does Your Dog Bite the pick in the 3 o'clock?
Does Your Dog Bite then for Gary in the 3 o'clock? And the big race of the day at Ascot is the 3.35. It's the Ascot Chase, a Grade 1 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got a short price favourite in the shape of Q Card, who's 2-5, 7-1 for Takanasoy, Royal Regatta 8-1, 14's Irish Cavalier and Traffic Fluid, and 16-1 for Shantou Flyer. Q Card, a previous winner of this race back in 2013. I suppose the idea of it is get another win under his belt before another tilt at the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Well, it would have been a long time, wouldn't it, between races. Obviously, there's another sort of, what, 4 or 5 weeks, I think, and he's been off 54 days since Boxing Day anyway, hasn't he? Yeah, he won this race back in 2013, so a long time ago now. But he has had a few runs already this season. Obviously, he won at Haydock. He was second in the King George. He really liked the way he stuck his neck out and battled actually all the way to the line. It looked like he was going to be swamped coming down to the last by quite a few horses, but he just kept galloping. Obviously, Irish Cavalier beat him in the Charlie Hall earlier on in the season, but I don't know, he's been slightly disappointing, obviously, hasn't he since? Royal Regatta definitely likes it here. He won a graded race here back in November. Look at his course record. It reads, he's won twice here and he's been placed on two other occasions. So it's a pretty solid sort of record here. He ran at Cheltenham the other day and pulled up. He can forgive that run. Shantou Flyer, stable companion of Irish Cavalier got a bit defined strictly at the weights, goes up in grade as well. Attacking the Soil obviously won at Cheltenham at the big race there at the November meeting. It wasn't beaten too far actually in the Lexus. He's quite interesting. He likes heavy ground as well. Traffic Fluid is running quite quickly again, having finished fourth at Newbury last week. That'd be enough for him, I think. Tack and the Soy and Royal Regatta are worthy opponents to Q Card, but I'll be disappointed. I know he's 11. I'll still be disappointed if Q Card gets beat, so he'd have to be the selection for me in the Ascot Chase.
Yeah, I've said a few times on this podcast and to various different people that I still think Q Card is an each-way angle into the Gold Cup because... He hasn't lost, well, on his Haydock run, he's still got plenty of ability there.
Yep.
He's better going left.
Couldn't argue with that.
And he loves it at Cheltenham. So I expect him to win this on Saturday and then it'll be all systems go for another Gold Cup tilt.
Okay.
So that's my two Penneth.
Fair enough. Hopefully he'll be chasing Native River up the hill. But yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Colin Tizard has a pretty strong hand, doesn't he?
It's, yes. And what's the prize money, actually? It's, what was it to the winner? 85 grand. So if he wins this... He's not actually that far behind Paul Nicholls. I was having a look the other day. Obviously, he doesn't have the sort of the firepower that Paul Nicholls does in terms of quantity of runners, but he's, what, 350,000 behind him at the moment? Wins that tomorrow, it narrows it. It's under three. Well, it's, you know, just over 250,000. Gold Cup to come.
Front three,
front three in the market.
It'd certainly take a big dinner out of that, wouldn't it?
It would.
Mm. Interesting. Well, thank you very much, Gary. Been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Saturday's action. We're going to hear from Sir Anthony McCoy now on some races. We'll stay with this race, the 3:35, because Sir Anthony McCoy has previewed it. Let's get his thoughts in the Ascot Chase.
The 3:35, the Ascot Chase, is a grade one over 2.5 miles, and it looks a gimme for Q Card, who won it back in 2013. He was a good second in the Keane George behind Thistlecrack. He was a little disappointing that day, having been very impressive at Haydock the time before. Irish Cavalier did manage to beat him on his first run of the season in the Charlie Hall Chase at Wetherby, but he's been disappointing since then. And Tarquin Dessous, I thought, was the only other one that might get involved in the finish. He won a big handicap chase at Cheltenham at the beginning of the season, was put in his place in a grade one over further than this in Ireland last time. Q Card looks to me like it's his for the taking.
Q Card, the selection for Sir Anthony McCoy then as well. 2-5 in the market for the Ascot Chase there. Let's get a few other races under our belts as well. Sir AP McCoy also had a look at Haydock Park. He looked at the 2:05 there first, which is the Rendlesham Hurdle.
The 2:05 is the Rendlesham Hurdle. It's a grade two over nearly 2.7 miles. Agropar looks like he's got the best, most recent form, having beat Lammy Surge at Cheltenham last time. He stayed on really well, so this extra distance shouldn't be a problem to him. He doesn't mind ground conditions either. The two interesting horses, the Nicholls ones, O.P.T. Son was a good winner of a big handicap at the Cheltenham Festival a couple of years ago. He's been chasing and doesn't look like he likes it, so he'd be happy to be back over hurdles. And Zirkanda has been a really good horse in his day. He's getting on in years. He looked like he had a chance to win at Aintree a couple of runs back. Has been a little disappointing since, but I do think Agrippa is the one they've got to beat on the back of his Cheltenham win.
Agrippa for AP then, 6-4 at the top of the betting for the Rendlesham. Competitive race up next, the 3:15 at Haydock Park, which is a Grand National Trial.
The 3:15 is the Grand National Trial, and a competitive race it is. Black Lion, last season's RSA winner. I fancied him the last day at Wetherby, and he was a bit disappointing. He has got top weight here, but I'm sure he'd run a good race again. V. Leon Rouge of David Pipes was a good winner over the Grand National fences in Beecher Chase last time. No doubt the Grand National is his target. He will run well again here, but the one I do like best is Vicente of Paul Nicholls's. He won last year's Scottish Grand National. He's been a little disappointing on his three runs to date this season, but now that the Grand National weights are out, I'm sure you'll see a much improved performance from him here, and I like Vicente each way.
Expecting a better showing from Vicente then in the Grand National Trial. There's currently a 14-1 chance in the market at the time of recording this. And the final race on this William Hill Racing podcast is the Kingwell Hurdle, a grade two, over just short of 2 miles, and potential champion hurdle clues on offer, particularly with regards to Yanworth, and that's a JP McManus horse, so no better man to speak to than Sir Anthony McCoy.
The 2:45 at Wincanton is the Kingwell Hurdle, it's a grade two. Alan King has a very strong hand here with his two runners. Soral was very impressive in his first two starts this season, but was disappointing in the fight in fifth at Newcastle, and he has a lot more on his plate here with Yanworth, his stablemate, who was a pretty impressive winner, I thought, at Kempton last time in the Christmas Hurdle, a track that wouldn't have played to his strengths at all. He is going to have cheek pieces on him for the first time. Barry Gertie thinks that they may sharpen up his jumping. And if Yanworth is to have any chance in the champion hurdle, he needs to be winning well here.
If he feels that Yanworth should be winning this pretty comfortably then, and he's 4-5 in the market for the 2:45 at Wincanton. That's it then. That's our look ahead to Saturday's racing. A good Saturday in prospect as well. Great racing from Ascot, Haydock and Wincanton along the way over the obstacles. Alex Dunn, Seb Sanders and Paddy Aspel will be our team on Racing Radio. It's a 1 p.m. start, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.